Dear ones, the few verses that we read here, I'd like to really just focus, well, they are the words of Jesus, but what he really says to us, and I think that when we read this, we can kind of skim over it and think, yeah, we're good. Because when he says that if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I think we can, when we look at the indictments that Christ gives to the Pharisees in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, you know, we read of all of the woes that he speaks of here. He talks of them as hypocrites and the things that they do. And we can look at that perhaps and say, yeah, that's, I'm a better person than that. And so we may not pay too much attention to verse 20 here, where really he tells us if this does not happen, this will not happen either. So the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, which all of us as believers anticipate and hope, sometimes we just say it very, well, I hope one day, without really thinking much, just saying that so that I don't have too much confidence. I don't want to be confident. Paul was very confident. Paul was extremely confident. He had a blessed assurance that he was going to heaven. He was going to be with his Lord. Can you and I say that as the Apostle Paul did? And what's stopping you and me from saying it? Is it a false piety to say, well, you know, if I say that, then, you know, then I'm going to appear as if it's me that's doing it? And so, no, according to the scripture, we learn of Christ and we follow him. And when we follow him, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is within us yet even here and now. And the joys of heaven, we will certainly experience whatever we can experience even on this earth, but we surely will experience those things when our life here is over. And so when we look at this, the scribes and the Pharisees, we look at the Pharisees, the sect of the Pharisees, how did they come about? They aren't written about in the Old Testament at all. They came about after the people were, or the Jews were under bondage and so on, after they were freed. There's a sect, a group, that was in total dismay of how the religious life of the people had gone. They've embraced much of the secular, the worldly things, and they were a far, far cry from the law of God. And so what they were is what really you could really even look at perhaps modern day Puritans, where they looked at the law of God and they wanted to come back to the law. And they wanted to come back to a very strict obedience of the law. So that's how they came about, and they grew from that. But somewhere in that growth or in that desire, they missed something entirely. They completely missed righteousness. And so when you and I perhaps are asked, what does God look for you from you and me? Well, you know, we could say, well, he looks to the first commandment, the commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. All thy being, everything you have, love him with that. That's the commandment. On that commandment hang the law and the prophets. We've preached that how many times? And there's nothing but truths found in that. And then when we read verse 20, can we dismiss this and say, no, God's only going to look, did I love him? Well, in that love of God, there has to be something that is made manifest. That love has to be made manifest. It has to be shown. It has to follow a pattern. And that pattern is the law of God, of which the Pharisees kept. They thought they kept. It tells them, you know, you do tithe. So if they were to find a dime on the street, they would make sure that they give a penny to the Lord. They fulfilled certain things, and they were proud about those things. They looked at those things as something that they could hang their religion on. And they missed, as Jesus tells them, all the weightier matters of justice and mercy and faith. Completely missed it. He goes, you should have kept it. In other words, Jesus doesn't say, no, you don't have to keep the law. He never says you don't have to keep the law. He says you should have done those things. But don't omit justice and mercy and faith. And so a lot of times we look at faith and we say, well, I am saved by faith. That is when the righteousness of Christ, because I have none. And so we many times like to just kind of dismiss the need for righteousness as, well, I don't have any. My righteousness is that of filthy rags. I have nothing. So there's nothing I can produce. I have to just receive the righteousness of Christ. And so how do I do that? Well, it's through faith. And that's true. But it doesn't stop there. Because the sanctification, which is the beginning of our faith, that is when you and I believe, when sanctification begins and never ends. And in the sanctification process, as we grow, righteousness is made manifest through, as Paul and James, Paul talks in the chapters that he speaks about how we are saved by faith and that alone. He also speaks about, well, if that is how we are saved, should we go on to continue? In other words, go ahead and break the law of God. It's of none effect. No. You can't go and sin. So do you want to be called a sinner? A lot of times we say, well, we're sinners. And we also almost say it kind of proudly. Well, you know, I'm a sinner. No, I'm a saint. That's what Jesus wants you and me to say. We are saints, not sinners. Well, does that mean you never sin? No. But I am not a sinner. I don't have to sin. When I sin, I am repulsed at my sin. I can't believe what I just did. Because my faith takes me to a higher ground than where I just groveled and was a partaker of. And that causes a pain in my heart and my soul. And I realize that my love for my Lord was not perfect as God calls it to be. And so, yes, when God says here, I say unto you, that means listen to me. Well, everything that Jesus says, he's saying listen to me. But he's saying, I am saying this to you, that except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no case, there's not a chance. There's not a chance that you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. That should cause every one of us to sit bolt upright. Have we become what the Pharisees had become? Their initial goal, if it's, let's say, you know, there's a group that of them that was breaking, they're breaking away. They're creating a new sect. And they present what they want, what they are striving for. Oh, that sounds beautiful. That sounds wonderful. They counted out all the laws of God and they held them and they were, you know, they did some things that, you know, it says in the woes, I think it says that, you know, you will travel across land and sea to make a proselyte. One. You'll go across, he's telling them, this is what you do. You will go travel land and sea to make a, but then you make them a child of the devil. You know, what will you and I do to bring someone to Christ like the Pharisees did to bring someone to their sect? Are you ready to travel land and sea? So, in their zeal, we would call that today evangelism. They were evangelizing, but what were they doing? They were making children of the devil. What does your evangelism and my evangelism look like today? Does it line up with the Word of God? You know, when we read verse number 20, if you want to read one of the best commentaries that you can find to give you every explanation of verse number 20, the commentary to read is the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. That's it. He will tell you and me everything. What he is describing in verse number 20. Why won't you and I go to heaven if we don't fulfill this? And read it. From verse, just keep reading the Sermon on the Mount. In John 5:39, he says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You know, you can read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and you can think you have eternal life, and you don't, because these words testify of Jesus. So, in other words, what Jesus is saying, when you read the Scriptures, they're testifying of me. If you don't find me in the Scripture, you don't have eternal life. And so we can say, well, yeah, I did find Jesus. Well, does my life reflect the life of Jesus Christ and Him crucified? And what does that look like? Well, we look at His life and we look at His teachings. And there we will see, are we, can it be said of us that our righteousness has exceeded that of the scribes and the Pharisees? You know, is there ever a time that you break the law of God and you don't think it's a big one, and you make peace with it? It's not a big deal. You know, just something. I don't need to name anything. We all live our own separate, different lives, and we all have our frustrations and angers and moments of sin. You know, and if we make peace with those things, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law. If we want to say we live under grace, we don't live under the law, and as if the law has no effect on us, the Word of God is the law of God, and you cannot break not one jot nor tittle. Because he says, every one of those will be fulfilled. And how were they fulfilled? They were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law in everything, to its jot and its tittle. All the prophecy that was prophesied, he fulfilled. Everything was fulfilled in him. Search the Scriptures. If we don't land on Jesus and follow him, woe is unto us. And so, brothers and sisters, you know, at this word just fell on in the previous chapter, 17. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, if you and I find ourselves in any manner where we are breaking the law, and we really take these words of Jesus to our hearts and consider what he is saying here, he gives us a path of which we are to follow. He says, repent. The hardest thing a man can do. And we'll say, well, no, it wouldn't be that hard, right? The hard part is the humbling of oneself. To admit that I was wrong, to admit and to go and to correct those things. But yet that's what we just were reminded of this past Sunday, that's who God gives grace to. The one who humbles himself and realizes, you know, maybe I took the least of the commands, what I consider the least of the commandments, to mean not so much. Mean something that is not so great. And maybe, you know, we followed the ways of the Pharisees, where we just have a word that we, a law that they spoke of, that they, but, you know, didn't really care about the Spirit. We're to follow the law of God, not just the Spirit, but the letter and the Spirit. Because the letter is what reveals our sin to us. So how can you live in sin and live in the Spirit? You can't. So no, brothers and sisters, we can't go around saying, I'm a sinner. Because we hear Christians say that. Yes, I'm a sinner. No, we should not be saying that. We cannot be saying that. I never heard Paul say, I'm a sinner. He talks about who he was. He talks about a struggle in the flesh of what he had. But he also speaks about his victory. And it came through a complete denial, self-denial. And so, yes, we are not to follow self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is what the Pharisees did, and that's what hypocrisy is. But rather, we are to follow the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, as he imputes his righteousness upon you and me, we display the righteousness of Jesus Christ through the obedience of the letter and the spirit of the law that he gave each one of us. And through that means, we can go. He says, you've kept the least. Now go and preach. Go and teach. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Talk of me. It's not just evangelism in the sense that we're just going, doing. What are you doing? What are we doing? Are we bringing someone to the devil or to Jesus Christ and all his righteousness and purity and loveliness and holiness? We can't do it, dear ones, without submitting ourselves unto him. So dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, as we read these few short verses, they really are so, so weighty. They have so much written in them. If we just think that the Pharisees were an extremely religious people, and we're going to say, well, yeah, they crucified Jesus, so what were they? They looked down upon everybody. Because they were the elite. They felt that they had arrived. Because there were certain things that they kept that they felt good about. And it continues today. It continues today. We see there's certain things that cannot be done on the Sabbath and so on because, you know, dare they break one of those commandments and so on. But, you know, Jesus exposed their hearts to them many times. And so the question is for us, is there really anything today in our hearts or in our lives that I'm so careful to do? Like, let's say it would be to use a curse word. And we've eliminated out of our vocabulary, there's no utterance of that at all. And we were very careful never to say that. And that's good. But, you know, there's many people without Christ that never curse. That doesn't mean that we found Jesus in the Scriptures. That doesn't mean that. To find Jesus means to follow his Sermon on the Mount. It means to love one another. It means to love him. It means to seek him. It means to follow him in his righteousness. And the sanctification brings us to that. And he sanctifies us by his blood. He sanctifies us by his word. Search the Scriptures. Let's find Jesus in them. He is our only way. He is our only hope. And yet he gives us a stinging, really, indictment to the Pharisees, but he says, to you too, if you don't exceed what they did. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.